but I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you.
In many ways, we are all that fat black mermaid. We're just kind of stuffed into a cage, fully underwater, you know, trying to breathe, uncomfortable, but being forced to act like we like it, all while waving the international globalist American Empire flag, the gay, black, trans flag. Can we get that video up on the screen there? It's just like, I look at this and we are all her. And I don't even want to assume her pronouns. This is 2021. She could be identifying as a fish. You think that's stupid? Remember, we just had an episode where someone identified as a mushroom, a pansexual mushroom, for that fact. I'm loving this, actually. I'm ready for this. Let's all become mermaids. Let's all gain weight. And let's wave the flag and celebrate as our country collapses. On that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have Confetti of Color, which is 8K graphics and abbreviated COC. So if you wanted some COC blasting right in your face, this is the show for you. Somebody who likes that, actually, is our resident reporter, producer, and host of the Rapid Fire podcast, Savannah Hernandez.
So much confetti of color. So I absolutely love it.
You absolutely right love in the it. Face, political right in the correctness. Face. But you like getting stuff shot in your face. You can see back there, someone made that for you. Also, to celebrate how wonderful the world is, we try to make a great 200th episode on Wednesday. If you haven't seen it, it's because it got age restricted and got considered as adult only content. So we're trying to appeal back to the gods of YouTube. Put the fat black mermaid on there again. And we just want to say this. We love, this is everything we want for the future of America. This is our nation. We are all her. She is all of us. And if the gods would just let us survive for one more week, I'll get into a mermaid suit and wave the homosexual flag. I don't even know what that flag is. I haven't seen that until now. I don't even think.
Yeah, that's the new one, I think, because that has the ugly-ass triangle with the brown for the poop of the San Francisco streets
the poop flag.
Stripe on there. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Inclusive of everybody.
I never even thought about that.
She looks like she's in a glass case of emotion, just like all of us living in America under Joe Biden's leadership.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
It literally, and it is. And what's so sad, too, is you know that woman's packing a lot of weight, because usually, you know, there's a little bit of a difference and physics and the way things
like
float,
buoyancy.
It's still like somebody get that woman out of there. I am that woman. Get me out of here. And of course, I will. We have a lot coming up to talk about, including an interview with Evelyn Ray, who's in Australia, a writer and someone who's resisting the fascist regime there. So it's not just all fun and games. But of course, as the show promises you, we have a lot of things that will make you wish that you didn't see them. And we do like to make you uncomfortable. But you know where I'm not uncomfortable? That is, of course, down there, because I am wearing Undertak boxers, which are my favorite, that I wear almost every single day when I can. And the only reason why I can't wear them is because sometimes I wear too many pairs in a day by going to the gym. And I'm going to tell you this. Men are being inundated with overpriced boxers. Like, I saw a pair of boxers for like, there's like $55. Like, what the hell? And they're designed for testosterone deficient men. One brand even went so far, they gave a rainbow waistband. Gay. But here at Slightly Offensive, we demand more, and we demand more room and support where it counts. And that's not all. I want a quick release fly for a quick draw for when I need access. I need a secret pocket in the extra wide waistband for cash or tactical necessities. And I want a material to be antibacterial, which is important because you don't want them to smell, anti-pilling. You don't want them to get all like gross and crinkly. And you also want them to be moisture wicking. That's so important for me because we do. We just sweat as guys, and I want to stay fresh and dry all day. That's why I wear my Undertak boxer briefs. They have to be durable, though, fade resistant, shrink resistant, and ultra lightweight. It's a high standard, but luckily, Undertak comes through. Finally, I want them to be battle tested by special forces and 30% less expensive than the competition. There's only one brand that can say that all. Undertak, the only brand that is unapologetically pro-America, pro-military, and pro-2A. Go to getundertak.com. That's GETUNDERTAC.com. That's getundertak.com right now, and use my promo code offensive. You get a special introductory offer. Buy three, get one free with the offer code offensive. That's four pairs for the same price as two from the competition. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Go to getundertak.com, promo code offensive, GETUNDERTAC.com, promo code offensive. So I encourage you to get them, buy pairs for everyone. Christmas is coming up, and I encourage you to get them. So we are talking about someone who's not wearing Undertak boxers, Shaquilla.
The mermaid.
Shaquilla the mermaid. How you doing, girl? I feel ya. We're all underwater. We all feel the weight of the world and sometimes the weight of our own guts. We've all been packed into a little fish, humiliated in the public, brought in before a large audience on an international podcast. And I just have to say I am there. I've had meetings today with Glenn Beck. I've had meetings today with our CEO, Tyler. Everyone's a little concerned for the world, a little concerned for me, and I appreciate that. The question is, Savannah, are you concerned for me?
Every day, Miho. Every day. Every morning I wake up and I see some of the TikToks that you send me, and I'm like, this man's staying awake until 2 a.m. Watching videos about bunny pronouns. I mean, how good can your mental state be at that point? But no, we're good. Yeah, I never worry about you.
How good can it be? And I say this, we have the first male that has won homecoming queen at Rockbridge High School in Missouri. Missouri has some problems, and now a homecoming queen at Rockbridge is now a male. So I don't even think this is a transgender person. We have gotten to a point where I don't know how you can be okay. This video pod doesn't have any sound, does it?
It might have a little bit of sound.
Yeah, here we go.
And now, Rockbridge, your 2021 homecoming queen, Zachary Wilmer.
I like that he's dressed up as a glittery French fry. I like it.
Oh, shoot me now. Shoot me now. For those of our blind viewers, he's dressed in a... Can you give a understanding of this? Like, it's like he's dressed in a glittery gown with a green sachet, carrying flowers, and he looks a little twinky, and not just in the gay kind of way, but in the physically as a twinkie. an actual food.
Like I said, he looks like a glittery French fry to me, which that's very in fashion right now. He's very thin, very in shape. Obviously, I'm glad that he was able to come in and take this award away from women. Because women, you know, we've already had awards taken away from us in sports. Apparently, men can get periods now too and give birth. And now... men are taking homecoming queen away from women as well.
Tell me how you really feel.
I feel like this gay boy should get the hell out of this high school and stop trying to take away from women. That's how I actually feel. But, you know, if I was progressive and not a bigot, then I would just say he looks like a beautiful glittery French fry.
Nobody's actually excited. This is what I want to bring about this fake celebration of people. Like between the Twinkie boy and Shaquilla, the intergender and transdisciplinary.
Yeah, you hear those cheers, it's actually
mermaid.
Just demons from hell.
This is literally the sounds of hell. Nobody's actually happy with this.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, you would be satisfied wearing under-tack boxers. You know where you won't be satisfied? Pretending like it's progress, having a man win the queen. And also, like, I don't mean this gay in a derogatory way, right? Like, oh, like, just like this is gay. But this is not just gay, because a man in a dress is like kind of the cross-dressing as effeminate, that's fine. Being homosexual is gay. But then like taking away opportunities from women is demented gay. Like that's a sick way. And this is such a weird thing because I think it's so sad. I remember, do you know what, was it homecoming? I think it was winter. I did get elected as prince one time. And I think it was because people were just trying to make fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it did happen. I thought that was so stupid. I was like, what is this winter prince thing? Like, guys don't care about this kind of stuff. Women love excuses to get dolled up. This is part of Western culture. This is part of Eastern culture. No matter where you go in the world, women want to dress up. They want to look good. And this is a proud moment where a woman, this is someone's daughter, could have actually won this. And then we have this situation where this gay guy comes in and he wins this over an actual woman. And I think this genuinely strikes sadness into me, not anger, for the woman. Watch her put it on him. Like, that's so humiliating for her. That's so humiliating. It's so sad. It really is. It's like you look at this moment, there's nothing to celebrate.
Yeah, and again, we all know that he won this award because this entire school wants to be progressive, and that's why the cheers were so loud. I don't think in any homecoming video I've ever seen, I've heard cheers so loudly when, again, just some normal girl becomes homecoming queen. So why are we seeing such excessive amounts of celebration, and why is this being propped up as such a beautiful thing? Because they're trying to be progressive, but in reality, let's look at this for what it really is, taking away another opportunity from a woman.
Yeah, and like, I don't know why people just think we need to celebrate people. people because they're gay. We do have gay viewers who watch this show. Savannah is actually a lesbian. I'm just kidding. Yeah. You heard it here.
I'm homophobic towards myself. That's why I'm angry all the time. We just
identify as lesbians today so that we have the right to say these things. Yeah. Self-identified lesbians. It's like this guy gets interviewed on the street, right? I want to just celebrate people because they're gay. And it's like, you know, a lot of gay people are pretty f***ed up and disgusting, just like anybody. And it really is kind of a degenerate community. There are cool gay people, sure. Kayla, who's the director for my other show, is a lesbian, and I like her. But honestly, it's like this way that we celebrate degeneracy and bring it to the forefront and say that, you know, not only should people be allowed to live the way they want, which is an understanding for our society, but also like you should celebrate people simply based on the fact that they like the same gender. And then this one guy goes and interviews a random gay guy on the street, and you really see that, man, this community does have some of its own problems that it needs to work on. And also maybe this is just messed up because they're from Chicago and people from Chicago are messed up, but this is just a weird video that I don't know why it's in here, but you're
happy Halloween.
I was at like a sex dungeon at this bar in Chicago once. It's like a basement. You had to take off your clothes to get down there. You get down there, there's a bunch of people just f***ing in the dark. So I got f***ed by like four random people, and they all f***ed me, which was crazy. Somebody probably peed on me down there too. That probably happened. There's just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of fluid around.
That sounds like my nightmare.
The edit of this video. Props to the person.
Okay, see, when you ask me, so are you worried about me, Sav? This is this type of stuff Elijah sends me at 2 a.m. and I'm like, a little bit, maybe, just because you have to consume this type of content. I love the music in the background too. Like, this guy's like so excited, like, yeah, everyone peed on me and there was fluids, and the music in the background is like 25 cents a day. You can save a game from a sex dungeon.
That was way worse than I thought it was. I wouldn't have okayed that on the show. I don't remember it being that bad.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween.
I thought it was, I thought like the depth of what he said was just like, I went to a sex dungeon. No. I didn't realize he like, the fluids, the finishing. Oh gosh.
It's still going. There's so much happening here, and we're going to listen to it live on air and react to it. Happy Halloween.
You know what's the best part about this? I'm just going to get us in trouble here and just say, like, this guy thinks he's such cool shit. Like, see, somebody voluntarily woke up and put that on. He put that on. And I love, this is why I like TikTok and I love people, because editing speaks louder than words. It does. And the reason why the editor put that little, like, that little thing, because he knows that all of us are looking at this being like, dude, this guy is he's farther than gone. This is really, really bad. And the fact that he's proud of it, that's what I want to bring up. Like, that's what I want to bring up. It's not funny. All right, hold up. I want to bring this up. It's not funny. Is the way that we've embraced degeneracy and the way we're proud of it as a culture, like the way that we celebrate it. And this is why I like black people the most, is they're kind of homophobic, a lot of them. And they're like, this black guy's like, oh, what the hell, homie? Like, what is going on here? Like, it's
dude, this is him inside the sex dungeon.
Yeah. That's Sav in Chicago. Sav, what were you doing in Chicago? Here's a picture.
Me in Chicago. Just kidding. Yeah. I would never. I'm a child of God.
Dude, and people peed on him. Like, what?
He's like, people like peed on me. There was just a lot of fluids going on. They were really warm. Sick. They dripped everywhere. And it was a great Friday.
I mean, I can imagine people do stuff like this. I didn't know people like, I didn't know there were people were peeing on each other in dungeons until I saw this video. You learn something new here, folks. Sorry, choking my own spit.
Oh, thank God. Right. Our show's PG. Good for the kids. Oh, good for the kids.
I don't even know what this show is. Okay. I don't even know. I question myself.
Where do we go from there? How do we transition onto
another
topic?
I was trying to think about that. I was genuinely trying to process how we transition this. Speaking of people who may have transitioned, reminding you to get your kids out of public school. We will get into some stories here. I just see too many things that I feel the need to show you. There is a problem in our schools right now where on The View this morning, one of our government officials was telling people that teachers are not indoctrinating children. And this is an ongoing problem that we have in the country where teachers are systemically doing things that we are not aware of. And one of those things is like in Australia, the teachers are caught on a hot camera and hot mic, because we're going to talk to Evelyn Ray later from Australia, down in Australia. they're caught telling the kids, you know, in the classroom, hey, you know, even if your parents don't want you to get vaccinated, here's how you can go. You can go get the vaccine without your parents' permission. They do that here with abortions as well. Try to get people to get abortions without their parents' consent. Everyone's trying to come after your kids. Some people are trying to come on your kids. And that's just the truth. And it's really disgusting. They're perverts. They're pedophiles. They're sick. And we know, though, thanks to a lot of people like libs of TikTok and a lot of these accounts that work tirelessly and myth informed to expose these things. I do want to remind you guys that I am speaking at an event on November 6th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's the Myth Informed event. There'll be a link in the description, but you should come. Sydney's going to be there. We can all meet. If you want to meet or say hi, I will be at that event. It's not very expensive, and I encourage you to check it out. But obviously, people are recording these videos of teachers exposing them, and unfortunately, sometimes the teachers are exposing themselves. Let's go ahead and let's watch video 5.
Hi, it's International Pronouns Day. I'm a non-binary elementary school teacher, so here's how I talk to my students about pronouns and such. Hi, my name is Mix K. It's Mix. So kind of like cookie mix or mixing bowl, that sort of thing. That's how it's pronounced. That is my name. That is the name that I'm comfortable with. That is the name that makes me happy, and I would like it if you referred to me as such. See, I'm not a Mr. or a Miss, so I go by Mix because that's what makes me happy. Now, you have a name that you like to be called other than the name that's on the paper, right? It's the same thing for me. I have a name that I prefer to be called, and that's the one that you're going to use for me, okay? Now, I don't consider myself to be a boy or a girl. I just see myself as a person. So that's why I go by Mix. So I'm actually non-binary. I'm not really comfortable with feminine terms being used for me. If you can find some alternatives, that would be great. My pronouns are they, them, and she, her. Thank you so much for asking. What are yours? Talking about gender is not something that's out of the realm for children. Honestly, the most understanding people when it comes to my identity have been the students that I work with. So it's important to be yourself, because being openly you is probably the most important thing you can do for the kids of this generation.
Okay, there's so much to be said here. I am ready for this. Okay, I gotta crack my knuckles. Let me just like calm down for a second, because let's start here. This is an easy way to understand and gauge what's going on in our culture. So we talked about this on the other show, the infantilization of people.
Yes.
Like this is a big marshmallow baby. Like this is a baby.
Okay.
The stuffed
she's
animal.
She's sitting in the bottom bunk of a bunk bed.
Yeah. No, I think it's a loft bed, and she's like on a chair underneath. So she's like living in a studio apartment, which is fine. She's an elementary school teacher. Fine. But she's like, obviously she has like zebra prints, little lights, and like a stuffed animal. Man, you need to just like that. That is the signs of somebody with childhood trauma. And I don't mean to be rude, but like, you know, the chances are that a lot of these people were probably molested, physically abused, or had absentee parents. Like nobody from a whole and healthy home is hugging micro pillows like at that age. It's just like, I'm sorry, but there's this juvenile realm, like you haven't grown up, so you care about childish things. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I acted like a child. I'm not being rude, and I did childish things, but now that I'm a man, I've grown up and I've moved past these things. This is childish behavior, and that just shows you like why they want to delay development, because the longer people think that they're children, the more they look for someone to take care of them, and the more they'll care about bullshit like this. And so these people are the perfect product and victims of government overreach and also of ideological brainwashing.
You know, the worst part of this video was this person who looks female. So I'm going to call her a her, because that's just the easiest thing for me to do. And I'm going to do that because that makes me happy. And this is all about my emotions and feelings. I love how she kept saying that, like, oh, well, it makes me happy. It makes my feelings feel better when you, a little third grader, call me by my preferred pronouns. I don't care if I'm, you know, corrupting your small, childlike, innocent brain and confusing you. This is about me and my feelings. The worst part of this video is that she says, yeah, my students are some of the most accepting of my pronouns. And why is that? Because she's indoctrinating little kids that don't know better.
Yeah. Kids are it's like, dude, yeah, that you. So you're taking advantage of kids, because that's the whole point, why we don't like that. And also, I love how she's put thought in process. Like she also knows that it's not normal, because she has to tell the kids. Like this is not something kids would understand. She's got to indoctrinate them. She starts them young, and then she works on them from when they're. That's grooming. This is ideological grooming, and this is why they don't like homeschooling. And they like, I love how the state, people always talk about this. We need to fight back against this. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's always like, oh, like. you know, oh, you're indoctrinating your kids. Okay, somebody is indoctrinating your kids. Somebody mm-hmm. always is indoctrinating kids. It's either you or the state. This woman is a product of the state. And she's a product of brainwashing and trauma and also a broken system, a society that makes women think that they need to work. So there's that. So low impulse control, self eating issues, too, eating disorder, all there. That's fine. But I'm not going to attack that. That's just, it's there.
You know what, too, Elijah, because you made this point, and it is a very important thing that we should build upon, how you said that children need to be taught about these pronouns and these sexualities because it isn't inherently natural. And I thought about this, and I was like, why is the LGBTQ propaganda pushed on us so hard? Why are all of these things that are unnatural pushed so hard on us by the government? And it's because they are unnatural, and so therefore, in our common sense human spirit, we won't accept them, which is why they have to be taught and pushed and indoctrinated into our youth and into our society.
No, 110%. I think what's weird too, people ask me why we talk about this stuff because people don't, may not know what this show is. Oh, this is a show primarily on the culture.
Yeah.
And somehow people thought this was like a full-on news show. I don't know where that came to be.
In today's news, we have a morbidly obese yeah. school teacher indoctrinating your kids.
Literally the first episode of this show that I ever did was like, I think the main stories that I covered was this guy who was being labeled as sexist because he told his girlfriend that she had gotten a beer gut, and I photoshopped her stomach into a Corona bottle, like Corona tattoos.
Yeah.
And we laughed about women denying that they're fat. So I don't know where people got this. It just somehow in 2020, like Black Lives Matter is culture. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to cover that and accidentally got a federal credential and then ended up in the news world. That was it was an accident.
It's like news and culture collided and now this show is what it is. But you know, this is essentially this is essentially the news because, I mean, think about the fact that what? In Loudoun County, Virginia, those school boards are covering up child rape. We have these types of people in our school boards taking our kids to gay bars and, you know, encouraging high schoolers to twerk and do lap dances on their teachers. These are the type of teachers that are promoting that. And so it's like, this is just our news in 2021, actually.
Well, that's why we talk about it, because I do want to say this. Like, it's like when we go here, I mean, you talk about the news and what's going on in entertainment. It's intersected.
OMG.
TMZ, Michael Myers is an alleged homophobe for killing gay dudes in Halloween Kills. So first of all, who wrote the title of this article? It's like a child. Gay dudes? Gay dudes. Okay, so
well,
he goes on to say that, let me zoom in here for you guys here. This is written in like size 8 font or something.
Comic Sans, Comic Sans.
Yeah, psychopathic serial killer Michael Myers might have more issues than just his penchant for murder. Apparently, the internet is gravely concerned about his bigotry against gay people. This is actually a thing. The latest iteration of the masked madman is being accused by some Twitter truthers of being homophobic for offing a same-sex couple in the new Halloween Kills movie. So what's interesting is, so he killed, I guess that's the ones that he killed there in the new movie. What's interesting, though, is like, this is why we talk about this community, though. Here's what's really important, is because we fight the wars where the battles are. And this is about not equality. It's about special treatment. And that's why we give them extra negative treatment, just so that we can balance the yin and the yang.
Truly,
so,
truly.
So I'm here. I'm just here to bring the Buddhists their ultimate Zen. Don't get mad at me for trying to bring Asians healing. Okay, it's they go, oh, well, gays should not only be treated equally, but they should also, you know, take away crowns from young girls. And also in movies, they only need to be celebrated. You can't kill them. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to say the world all wishes they were Michael Myers, because that would be homophobic and bad. And I wouldn't make a joke that's homophobic and bad. I don't do those kinds of things. I'm an elite. I do great things in the world. I take over, you know, I'll take over your country's banking system, and then I'll force sodomy into your movies, and I'll do all that kind of stuff because that's what I do. And you enjoy the great reset, enjoy my life that I've provided for you. That's what I am. Everyone knows I'm a secret satanic elitist.
Yeah, you look kind of satanic a little
bit. Take some sodomy, people. And then, but here's the point, is everyone's like, okay, fine, gays are equal, whatever. Like, control my.
Okay, gays are equal. Gays now are equal. You have to get murdered too.
Yeah,
and then they get murdered and they get mad.
Yeah, I hope a gay person gets eaten by a dinosaur in like the 14th movie of Jurassic Park, and then everyone accuses homophobic T-Rex. That's a good shirt.
But why aren't there gay dinosaurs? We're not really feeling very represented in this description of Jurassic Park.
I know, and I do want to talk about that because obviously this isn't the only thing that's happened. Apparently, Biden has canceled Halloween, guys. Happy Halloween! Happy Halloween, motherfucker!
It's canceled.
Oh, yeah, exactly. This is what we're seeing here. No holiday spirit. Biden cancels Halloween at the White House.
It's actually probably better for the kids.
Where trick-or-treaters dress up and get candy from the president each year. Individuals expecting to take part in the annual Halloween festivities at the White House will unfortunately have to wait until next year for the celebration. Instead of passing out candy in Washington, President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden will be traveling to Rome this upcoming Halloween for an annual summit. The games are back in Rome, and they are going to be fighting two unvaccinated people together in the gladiator games, the unvaccinated gladiator games. Okay, well, I'm still not convinced he's not a hologram. I still think he's a CGI. I think that he's a computation. I don't even think he exists.
So for Halloween, he's just a ghost, but maybe he really is a ghost in real life.
It is true. And I do want to talk about that. But listen, guys, you know, nobody wants to cancel Halloween and nobody wants that. You know what? Nobody also wants their private information exposed, shared or sold online. But unfortunately, it's happening to you and millions of other people every day. And it's not something we asked for. I didn't ask for it, but they do it to us because they don't care. And it's time to take your privacy back. That's why my friends at Scoremaster, who help you add credit score points fast, have a new feature that empowers you to remove your private information from these websites and stop them from selling it permanently all at the push of a button. Literally, you just don't Google my name. Anyway, right now, your children's names and where they go to school could be on third-party websites that sell and share your information to anyone and everyone worldwide, including yours. It's really true. It's really creepy when you go on there. But Scoremaster puts a stop to that. And anyone online dating out there should listen up. If you're on Tinder or whatever else, maybe on Hinge, Grindr. On Bumble. Grindr. Yeah. Maybe you're on Grindr becoming the first homecoming queen. I don't know. But someone you don't want to see anymore could be Google searching you from your front door. It's true. It's that easy to find your private information online. I urge all of my listeners to enroll with Scoremaster right away to add credit score points fast and, most importantly, to get your privacy back. Go to scoremaster.com/offense. That's Scoremaster. Scoremaster.com/offense. OFFENSE. Remember, that's offense. As you can see, the link's in the description right now. And find out how to take back your privacy and, well, helping your credit score. It's kind of cool. They've really developed that. I'm really happy for those of you guys that signed up. Scoremaster.com/offense. Get your privacy back. So obviously we were talking about somebody who, unfortunately, we can't get rid of President Biden, mm-hmm. who is here. And it turns out here that the president and the first lady will be traveling internationally during the last days of October and will not be hosting a specific event at the White House. This is important because they are destroying our culture. They don't care about society. They don't care about our celebrations, our festivities. This is about you owning nothing and being happy. And they want to redefine everything from pronouns to gender. This is just an attack and a war on everything that we value and that we love. I'm not a big Halloween fan. I've never been a big Halloween fan, but I think we are having a Halloween party. Maybe. I don't know who is. Maybe I'm having a Halloween party. I don't know. I should, right? Should I have a Halloween party? If nobody's doing it, I should have one.
Yeah, we can dress up as our favorite TikTokers. I'll mm-hmm. be bunny pronouns. You can be the mermaid.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we have an interesting thing. We are reminded every year about Halloween, 15 offensive Halloween costumes that shouldn't exist. And I want to remind you that articles like this shouldn't exist, but they do. Imagine walking around and getting offended by the outfits of children. Remember when kids walked around in ghost costumes that looked awfully familiar to the Ku Klux Klan? Mm. I'm not offended by that because those are just bed sheets. So there you go. And remember, if you dress up as the Ku Klux Klan, one day your kid could grow up to be the governor of Virginia.
Okay, wait. So you're going to laugh at number one on this. And I've never seen this in my whole life. But what is number one?
A Holocaust victim?
Like, who is dressing their child up as a Holocaust victim? I find these articles and it's like,
what?
This article writer had to dig to the deepest recesses of the internet to find this kid's costume. I've never seen this in my entire 25 years of life. A child dressed up as a Holocaust victim.
That is the dumbest. No one's doing that.
No one. Literally nobody's, no one.
No, nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that. Next.
Number two.
Anything involving blackface.
Joy Behar.
You can also become the governor of Virginia.
Justin Trudeau. Yeah.
Anything involving blackface. Okay. It's like, okay. It's just, nobody's offended by this. Blackface is not the difference between dressing up like a rapper. Blackface was an actual thing that people find offensive. That's like to exaggerate black features, right? Like extra big red lips and a big nose and like charcoal. Like it's not just dressing up as a rapper. Like that's not blackface. Okay, let's keep going. I don't know if I'm like this. Transphobic costumes.
Yeah, any costumes where you're a man and then, you know, there's big butt and boobs, like that's very transphobic. Please don't do it, men. Please be progressive this Halloween season.
Do you remember when actually like cross-dressing for like Halloween was like funny? Because like the masculine dude would like, you know, like, I don't know, like dress up as like his grandma or something. And it was like, ha ha ha, that's funny because that nobody actually would do that for real.
And now it's just like a regular Tuesday.
And it's not believable. And everyone knows it's not believable. That's why we're laughing. Now, the difference is that we're not allowed to laugh anymore, which is why I laugh, more because they, whatever they tell me I can't do, I increase. But also, it's like, it's still not believable. Like, hey guys, it wasn't believable back on Halloween. It's still not believable today.
We can still tell you're a man.
Yeah. The COVID-19 pandemic.
I think that people should dress up as that and make light of the fact that the government destroyed our lives over it. You know, you got to find comedy in everything.
You're not allowed to. No, you must be controlled. Body shaming and objectifying costumes. I don't know what that is. What is that a Caitlyn Jenner costume?
Yeah, it's like an Asian man riding on top of
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand the context, but I appreciate it.
Very bizarre. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it too.
Don't body shame everybody. Remember to be inclusive with your Halloween costumes this year.
Cultural stereotypes. So why can't I? Wait, what?
Yeah, don't dress up as Indians this year if you're white, especially because that's just going to remind them of, you know, how you stole their land and genocided them, because that's just history now.
You cannot dress up as a scientist or an astronaut or anything else from other cultures that you have appropriated. How about that? You can't be a doctor either. Modern medicine didn't invent that one. Did you, Nigerians? Exactly. So that's all I'm going
to
say.
According to rewritten black history, though, black people created entire countries in medicine and modern architecture and electricity. So
look at this one. You can't dress up as a terrorist.
You can't dress up as a BLM member then, an Antifa.
I was pretty based from when I was a young kid in terms of the fact that like I understood political humor. Do you know when I was like 10 years old? I dressed up as Bill Clinton with my zipper down and my pants unbuttoned. Not joking.
Was your friend Monica?
No, and I kept, and my parents would be like, stop, put it back up. And I would like, someone would be like, who are you? And then I would be like, guess. And I would like unbutton my pants. And then I thought it was so funny because even though I was 10, I thought it was funny to make fun of Bill Clinton. And it still is.
It still is.
I don't even know if I want to read up any of the zombie versions of recently deceased celebrities.
John
okay. An eating disorder. Lion killer dentist Halloween costume. I don't
Animal
know.
Cruelty,
a mentally ill person.
That's going to be a hard one.
Yeah,
basically
that's like
dressing
most people.
Normal. Yeah.
Sexual harassment.
Oh, that guy's dressed as Andrew Cuomo.
A homeless. That's pretty cute, actually. I'm not going to lie. That does two things. That's blackface and homeless and mentally ill. That's like he got all of them.
Yeah, he just needs to be canceled. Who is this kid? Cancel him immediately.
A national tragedy? They dressed up as 9/11.
Okay, this one is actually kind of messed up. These cosplayers dressed up as the Twin Towers and they have Barbies like glued to the sides of the building.
All right, that's kind of messed up.
The
Black Lives, you can,
well,
what?
They said you can't dress up as a terrorist, so that's why you can't
dress up as a Black Lives Matter movement. But also, like, this is just a witch costume with someone photoshopped Black Lives Matter on it.
Yeah.
And also, they do have a lot of witches involved with those. You know, they're always like, casting spells before those protests.
Yeah, the Antifas.
And they're always casting spells. They always cast spells.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember like, it's like, you know, zippity doo dah, zippity a, my oh my, the devil's fun today or something. I don't know what this is. I hope this is over. Okay, this is over.
It's over. We just had
literally,
to go through that
do you
to
see
remind
this?
Everyone.
This is, that was like, that is my face on the walking of all of these. Just like, Literally, I know.
The first one is my personal favorite because it doesn't exist.
The Holocaust victim?
Yeah, don't dress your child up as a Holocaust victim. Like,
I'm just so confused by all of this. I'm so confused. If you can take my thing off the screen here for a second. I don't know. I do got to say, though, it's like there are some things, though, that probably are a no. Like, it probably just, like, I get it in society that a little bit of policing of society can be good. Like, for instance, this girl, this Instagram model's father passed away. And I know how devastating this is. A lot of you guys have lost people you loved. I have lost my mother. I don't mean to always bring that up, but just I get it. And it doesn't get easier. It stays hard and you cope with it. Like before, when I first coped with it, like, I'll be completely honest. I just like kind of got drunk that night she died.
Mm-hmm.
I just drank like 5 beers and like took a couple shots, and that's not a healthy way to do it. But I don't like how people on social media always, like, this is a critique of this, And we could fall into this, Sav, of like always trying to make things, you know, like make yourself look good. And this is why a lot of people don't like content creators, because everyone's fake. And I think people like the show because we're honest and we're real with people. Mm-hmm. And we're with you guys. We are. I look at you and I know, to me, I'm staring into a very underfunded
Black Mirror,
black underfunded studio in a broom closet. But I know that you're watching or you're listening to this, and I think that sometimes we think that people, you know, have it all together, and it's not. It's like, no, you know, I don't. What else was I supposed to do when my mom died? Oh, you should have prayed. Okay, probably. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. Okay, I coped the wrong way, and I didn't. And I had a really hard time. I really struggled at her death, and I didn't try to look good. You know, like, and I think it's okay to not always look good on to people. Like, that's one of the reasons why I curse. I curse on my show because I curse in the real world and I want to be the real me in front of the camera. I know a lot of people don't like cursing, and that's okay. And I'm not doing things just to be, you know, rude to you guys, but I always want to be authentic. And when I'm not doing well, I'm not doing well. And one of the times that it's okay to not do well is when people you love die. You know, I don't advise you doing that and, you know, getting drunk. I don't advise you doing anything harmful. But people, when people die, we get into all types of harmful things. But this woman, this Instagram model's father passed away, and she did a photo shoot with the open casket.
Well, see, and
it's just like, this is not the time. This is the time to tell your audience, hey, look, I'm in a bad position. I don't need to look hot. Like, this is such bullshit. This is everything wrong with social media.
Exactly. And to your point, what this takes away from is not only her father's death and her father's funeral, but it makes this entire situation about herself. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it takes the emotion out of it. If you look at her face, she looks like she's not upset. She's posing. And that's what it is. It all looks like a big photo shoot to her. There's no emotion behind it. And like you said, social media does a great job of masking true human emotions. This girl may very well be distraught and drinking away her problems and sad that her father died. But what is she showing you? This picture that's making it all about herself, as opposed to, you know, grieving naturally and normally.
No, yeah. And that's what I'm looking at this. It does hurt my heart. That's what I mean. Like, cause I don't like the world that the internet has made people think the world is, right? Like, it's like the world is juvenile and the world is harsh. It's, mm-hmm. it's brutal. And many more bad things are going to happen to all of us. And I think the 2020 with just the riots, with everything that happened, like things can get bad fast, and we have to be honest and confront that. And I want to talk to in a moment here to a good friend of mine, Evelyn Ray, a friend of the show, ally in the fight, who we love and hold dear, who's really battling down in Australia to kind of bring, you know, us an update of what's going on and what they expect, and to give you an update on my family who's also there and struggling every day. Before we jump into that, though, don't forget to leave a 5-star review of this show at Apple Podcasts. It really helps out a lot if you make it this far in the podcast, and also to sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah and become an SOB. Support the show, support the new show. And again, if all these things are too much, you don't want to become a member, you don't want to support it, that's fine. But also the podcast review is free. And on top of that, if you want to go a step further, make sure you subscribe to this show, turn on the bell, be sharing the show with friends and family. As we met, we get censored, we get suppressed. It's a tough thing, but you guys really support us and we thank you. And so let's go ahead and let's jump online with Evelyn Ray. Obviously, the situation in Australia is insane, as we were just talking about. And to give us better insight into this, writer Evelyn Ray, who is reporting from Down Under, welcome to Slightly Offensive.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so obviously, this is the bright and early morning for you. This is the afternoon for us. Overall, I mean, I just want to get a blanket statement. Do you feel positive for the future and the direction of your country, or are you feeling kind of bleak at the moment?
To be honest, I'm feeling a bit bleak. The more that we sort of get into, you know, what's happening with COVID, the more that you see, we don't really have the tools, I think, at the moment in Australia to get ourselves out of here. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty bleak. I've had bit of a realization lately of reality hitting me in the face that we just don't have rights in Australia. And unless we completely abolish the systems that we have, which have spent, you know, a couple of hundred years building up, I can't see us, you know, getting out of here.
Yeah. And for, you know, people have been familiar with what's going on. Obviously, you know, my wife is Australian. My co-host, Sydney, on my other show, she is an Australian citizen as well. I have family who's over there. And, you know, the situation really I think has shocked the American people, because, and I can speak probably for most of the viewers here and the listeners, is we kind of thought that Australia was like the Texas of the Eurocentric white people. Like, this was the kind of free outback. Everyone thinks of Crocodile Hunter. You guys are going out and, you know, capturing animals. And then we watch all of this. And, you know, I know that we meet Australians and everyone's so kind and so loving, and the culture is so fun and people love to visit. It's beautiful. We see this and I think we're in disbelief. Like, we genuinely are going, I didn't know this could happen. And maybe that's just the American in me, but as an Australian, do you guys feel that way too? Those of you that are resisting this, do you feel like you didn't know this was going to be able to get this bad so quickly?
Yeah, it's like you said, like, I traveled to America a few times, you know, in my adult years, and everywhere I went in America, everyone's like, oh my goodness, you're an Aussie. You know, say something to me. Have you wrestled a crocodile before? Like, how many snakes do you own? And we've got this reputation of being tough. And, you know, I served in law enforcement over here for 12 years, and I've worked like really closely with military, and our reputation in the military and in other sort of law enforcement spectrums is, again, to be really tough. And so to kind of get here, I can understand why people are in disbelief, because we do have a reputation as Australians. You know, we've suffered droughts. Every creature over here wants to kill us or is venomous. Even our plants can kill us. You know, we've been through everything you can imagine. And here we are just basically saying, govern me harder, daddy. So it's been really challenging, I think, for people who are international from us to look at us and see how far we've gone. But to be honest, I even had a bit of a reality hit. You know, I've kind of been awake to the agenda and the overall sort of perspective of things for a while, but even I'm shocked that we have gotten to this point, because I thought we had a little bit more oomph in us. I thought we had a little bit more backbone in us. And, you know, like, the more I get into this, the more I realize that we're so conditioned in Australia to be this way. And we're obviously conditioned from our foundations, the way that our country is set up, the way that our government is set up, and the way that people view freedom. We don't have this patriotic, you know, God-given inherited right of freedom. It's as though we've been so conditioned to have security over freedom, and so conditioned to think that the government owns us and owes us things, that people might not be happy with it, but are willing to just accept it.
So when you say conditioned, because obviously Americans are vehemently opposed to any sort of oversight. I think it's in our nature to be unruly, right? The British knew that in the War of 1812, that we were wild people. And that's sort of a part of being patriotic and being who we are. But you use the phrase, they're conditioned, right, into accepting this. So do you mean that that's from the inception of the nation, or is this something that's been gradual? Is this more recent? Like, I don't understand, you know, if we have similar heritage, right? We all come from the crown, basically, and you guys are still essentially a crown colony in your own way, even though you have independence. You know, what's the difference? Like, how are they conditioned differently than an American like me living in Texas?
Yeah, so I've thought about this a lot lately, and I'm like, you know, we've gone from penal colony to penal colony in under 200 years. It's a bit of a record. Is it generational? Is it a generational curse? Have we always, you know, viewed ourselves as convicts and at the mercy or disposal of our overlords, our government? Or is this something new? And that's a question I've been sort of weighing up and analyzing. And, you know, you only have to look at, for example, the vaccine mandates right now in Australia to see that we've been conditioned for this, at least for myself, in the last few decades. Because if you have a child that's unvaccinated or not immunized against certain things, you can't go into certain schools, they can't go to certain daycares, and the government will not give them any welfare or any benefits. And this is legislation, and this is things that has been in Australia for, as I said, decades and decades. And so I'm surprised now that people are shocked that they're doing the same thing with the, you know, COVID vaccine. It's like, well, it's been there, the bones of it and the workings of it have been there for a long time. So, yeah, I think we've been conditioned with other things, but because it hasn't really affected us or we've agreed with it, we've just kind of gone along with it. And yeah, it's quite, yeah, it's quite interesting to see Australians wrestle with that and to see that it is something that we've had for such a long time.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of shocking. And I want to bring up a tweet. You wrote something that I was actually exposed to from you. You said that there was proposed legislation in Australia's state of Victoria that would see Australians who do not comply with the Premier's public order. And for those of you guys that aren't familiar or you're new to the show, Premier is similar to what we have as a governor here in the United States. Even for a potential emergency crisis, they could serve 2 years in prison. That we as a nation are headed for the cliff and it's time to jump off. I mean, that's really severe, Evelyn. 2 years in prison. Can you elaborate on this for me?
Yeah, so we've just had this legislation that's been proposed in Parliament, and it has to pass the lower house and the upper house. It has to go through certain processes. But what's happened because of the pandemic, our Parliament's been closed. They haven't been meeting. And so while all of us have been focusing on these restrictions and what's going on in the background, in the peripherals, our government have been working up this legislation which would make the pandemic restrictions, the pandemic mandates, permanent legislation. So right now, a mandate is something that they've written up and they've had to go through certain processes with our chief health officers to get approved. And then it gets sort of mandated for a period of time, and then it has to get reassessed and it has to get weighed up, and you have to reapply for things once the emergency powers have expired. This legislation that the Victorian state government is trying to put through basically means that the pandemic mandates restrictions are permanent. They're enacted legislation now. And what it will entail is if you breach any of these public health, like pandemic emergency restrictions, an individual can get up to $90,000 worth of a fine, and a business can get up to $455,000. Dollars worth of a fine. People can get 2 years in jail because of this. And this particular legislation is completely dependent on the state government at the time. So with this legislation, the state premier, which in Victoria is Dan Andrews, he's the one who has the complete authority as to when he can call a pandemic. It is irrelevant whether there is actually a pandemic. It's irrelevant case numbers. The legislation is so extreme that it honestly should wake up even like the people who are all in favor right now, because the precedent that this legislation would set moving into the future is very terrifying. 2 years in prison. I mean, I worked 12 years in law enforcement. I've had someone shoot a gun at me before and get less than 4 years. Yet, if I don't wear a mask in public, I'm going to get 2 years in prison. Like, this is how ludicrous right now our system is in Australia. And if people think that it's over, you know, once the COVID's over, they're stupid, because this legislation that the Victorian government has put in has made it a permanency. And, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, why would the government pass such extreme legislation unless they were intending on putting us back in lockdown? Why would there be a need for this?
Yeah, and it is weird too, because some of the weird petty things, I know you wrote this the other day, that the dystopian nightmare that is happening, and that really hurts my heart to read the dystopian nightmare, because, you know, people don't realize really how hard this is. And speaking to you, speaking to my family, you know, people are really broken over this. They're really nervous. And you see this and you go, they're going to be penalizing, giving penalties to children for not wearing a face covering when required. And you even hear the reading about this. Like, I love how they say face covering, right? Most face coverings do very little to protect you from just about anything. N95s, of course, you know, have their own, you know, ability to mitigate some risk. But for the most part, a lot of these masks have warnings on the box saying basically that they're not much of a help for anything. And it's so interesting, though, like, I've gotten strikes for, you know, reading off the side of a box. But you look at this and there's those words that you've got to cover your face without explaining the science or what kind of face covering. And it's also when required, meaning this can change. This can go up and down. And if we're really talking about science and that this was about the safety of people, the wording wouldn't be so frivolous and open. But you look at this and it's like, you're going to fine kids for just not doing what the government is saying, and you're not even going to explain why they need to do it. I mean, this is really effed.
It is. And, you know, there's some videos going around in Australia where kids' playgrounds have been, you know, taped up with almost like crime scene tape. You've had the government putting these big concrete barricades on skateboard ramps and parks so kids can't go out and play. When the science is, being outside and in the sun is the best thing for your health, yet they're preventing children from doing it. It's like you said, science has become like propaganda and narrative. It's actually not objective. There's no debate around it. Science is not science, just like media these days isn't media. And we've seen almost the objectivity of science get eradicated and replaced with agenda. And it's really sad. And, you know, there are these videos with these kids who are actually ripping down the tape, and the parents are coming with these big crowbars and trying to reef off these concrete barricades. And a little part of me is a little bit hopeful in all of this because, you know, our kids are the ones who are suffering, and maybe the government is actually creating the newest generation of little conservatives who hate the government because they've had to grow up, you know, being told they can't play with their friends, they're not allowed to go outside, they have to put this thing over their face. And as you said, no one can explain to them why or the science. So, you know, maybe in the end, stupidity can't sustain itself, and maybe the consequence of that is we are going to have these new generations of kids who are going to wake up to the government and to what's going on, and who actually are actively seeking the truth and seeking the real science in alternative forms.
Yeah. And I am hopeful for that, because obviously you see this on, you know, Premier Dan Andrews is saying today that there is no uncertain terms that the unvaccinated Victorians will remain excluded from economic and social activities well into 2022. The premier also warned double-dosed Victorians they may be locked up if they don't take the booster shots if required. And we know that's coming down the road very quickly. This is becoming, you know, this is a constant bait and switch. And I'm hoping people will wake up, because they thought, once I got the double dose, then I'll get my freedom back. No, you can't get your freedom unless you take it back, because men and politicians are corrupt and often come from the worst trim of the cloth. They love this, and they feed off of this, and they suck us dry of our money. They suck us dry of our rights, and they'll do anything they can to retain that power hold. And if people don't wake up today, and Australians don't wake up and realize that, you know, these boosters are unending. They're already talking about the fourth one here in the United States. I mean, this is going to become a yearly, if not twice yearly, subscription service to these medical pharmaceutical companies that hate you at the request of a government that hates you too. And I got to say, I mean, do you feel like, and do you believe with this going on that Australians will wake up and that they will resist this? Or do you feel like, at least for the foreseeable future, as this says, that this is sort of the lot that you're going to be dealt?
I don't want to be too negative, but to be honest, like, if there was a hill that we were going to die on, it was when they told us that we have to vaccinate our 12-year-old kids, and we chose not to die on that hill. So I'm a little bit skeptical to think that we'll die on the hill of a booster shot, sadly, because, you know, all of us who have sort of had both of our eyes open from the beginning have said it's not going to end once you get vaccinated. I have so many close friends who have said to me that they will, that they're willing to get the vaccine now, but they won't get any booster shots. But to be honest, like, I don't believe it, because once that comes around and people are threatened to lose their short-term comforts again, I feel like they're going to probably just put their head in the sand and just do what they're supposed to be done according to the government. But like you said before, the government take from the people far easier than they give back. Once a government takes something, you pretty much guaranteed to not get it back. And if you do get it back, it's going to be tarnished, manipulated, and it's going to be different to what you ever had before. It would never go back to what it was. You only have to pick up a history book to see the nature of the government, the corrosive rot that is in those systems. I'm very much for small government. I'm very much for less involvement with the government. But unfortunately, in Australia, we've asked the government to be mum and dad. And that's exactly why they are treating us like children. We have a public health system over here. So it's almost as though the government feel that they have a responsibility for our health. And with that, they have a responsibility to decide for us our own personal risk safety management system. And Australians like that because not all of Australians, but a lot of Australians, a vast majority of Australians like that because it takes the responsibility off their shoulders. If something goes wrong, they can blame someone else. They don't have personal responsibility. And so at the moment, I'm not sure booster shots is going to cut it unless something affects the individual themselves, whether they have a bad reaction from the vaccine or whether their child does. I'm not sure that enough Aussies are going to be outraged. And I think we're just, as I said, we're so conditioned to just do what the government tells us to do and to have the government so involved in our lives over here that for anything to change, it has to change at the basic fundamental level of how our country operates and works. And I think that we are a very long way off that. And I think maybe, you know, it's a few generations away.
Well, Evelyn, my heart does hurt genuinely for you and for everyone in Australia and to my family as well. For everyone just realizing that I want Americans to wake up and I want you to look at Australia and I want you to realize that we're not far off from this as well. And this is why if you've already complied to some extent, choose this day whom you serve, whether you serve man or God, and whether you want to believe your rights come from man and can be taken away or they come from God. And that's rudimentary and absolutely fundamental as well to retaining and keeping your independence. And so Americans, as I like to say, buy lots of guns, buy lots of ammo, always be prepared for whatever injustices may come your way. And to Australians, perhaps if the U.S. was a just nation, we wouldn't be trying to liberate Libya that never has to be liberated. Maybe we had to liberate our good friends over there, but our hearts are with you. Our prayers are with you. And we love you guys a lot. That's Evelyn Ray. You can follow her on Twitter and you can also read her article. She's a writer. We have some links and descriptions to where you can find some of the things that she's written. And I encourage you to follow her and to keep up with her fight to expose the darkness as somebody who's taken a stand against the regime. If you want to know an easy way you can start helping by now, team up with her, write her, contact her, ask ways that you can help if you want to. And I'm sure she can point you to people, resources, places. And even if she doesn't have them now, then I'm sure when the time comes, she'll know the type of people that she can look to for support or whatever she might need. Anyway, Evelyn, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. You guys seem to care more about Australia than our own Australian media and government. So I really appreciate it.
And as I mentioned, don't forget to support Evelyn, connect with her. And as we continue to see the fight in all of that, I know that sometimes these episodes, this can be all over the place because the world is all over the place. And that's how it is. I do want to remind you that if you want to go a step further and follow more of what's going on in our thoughts, you can follow both Savannah and I pretty much anywhere where you can find people online. And our descriptions are below. And don't forget to support Savannah at Sav Says as well on YouTube and her podcast Rapid Fire. Leave that 5-star review for her too. As I mentioned, we're going to read a couple reviews before we go out. Thank you guys for supporting us and leaving those 5-star reviews. And we love to hear from you guys. We have one from Toker Taylor that says, "You guys inspired me. Strong, Mark. Leave a review for a chance to be on the show. You make it hard not to sell myself." All right. No, but this is, but in seriousness, thank you for, oh, wow. Thank you for what you guys do. I've been watching Slightly Offensive for years and I've developed my own niche on TikToks at SMOL Patriot, Small Patriot. Being a conservative with blue hair, y'all give me the confidence to have a voice. I hope to work with you all one day. Godspeed. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. And then we have another review from Nelson Beardman that says, "Nelson Beardman, Elijah, I've been following you for almost 2 years now. Keep up the good work and keep exposing the mentally enslaved zombie sheep that walk among us." That is so awesome. Thank you guys again for that. Anyway, it's been another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with 8K graphics. I do want to remind you guys that we do have merch and that the merch is going to go away soon because we have new merch being designed. Have a great rest of the week. Have a great Halloween, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.